What an outstanding performance by the worship team. I thoroughly enjoyed that. I really did. It's a blessing to see the new generation up here and performing, right? You know what? It is a blessing when you see how the Lord gives these kids their talents. But it's more of a blessing when they use their talents to serve the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful that we can set aside a few minutes of our time, first day of the week, to say thank you, to give you praise, to worship you. It's all you today, Lord. It's not about us. It's not about even me. And Lord, as we continue on to glorify you and to praise you, I ask that you put me behind the cross, way behind, where they can't see me. All they see is you. Give me the words, Lord. Help me speak boldly, but also help me speak humbly. I give you praise. And again, we are thankful to be here. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to talk about my man, Joseph. I'm a fan of him. We all know his story, right? But for the sake of time, let me just give you a quick summary of his life. And I encourage you to read his incredible journey in the book of Genesis when you get a chance. The life of Joseph is one of the most amazing stories in the Bible. Joseph was a man in Canaan who came from a wealthy family with lots of kids. He had 11 brothers and one sister, but the family's relationship with him was so broken. It was so messed up that Joseph's brothers hated him because he was their father's favorite. It was a very hostile environment for many years. As a matter of fact, they hated him so much that one day they planned to kill him. We're not talking about just annoying brothers. They planned to kill him. But they changed their minds and said, no, you know what? Why kill him when we can get money out of him? Even worse. We'll just sell him as a slave for the rest of his life, and that's what they did. Young. He was only 17. Alone and devastated, he ended up in Egypt where he's never been before, and he didn't even know the language. He slaved under a man named Potiphar, a high official and captain of the guards. Joseph served faithfully in his house for many years and was promoted to head steward, given full authority due to the official's trust. Soon he caught the eye of his boss's lustful wife, but obedient to his God and determined to maintain his pureness, Joseph faithfully resisted her deception and escaped her advances only to hear the cries of the woman as she screamed of sexual assault and attempted rape. As a result, her false accusations, he wound up in an Egyptian dungeon as an innocent man. But there, once again, he was trusted and respected. He helped others out, but he remained forgotten for several years. But guess what? God did not forget about him. And by God-made circumstances, he was lifted out of that prison and virtually overnight elevated to a position prime minister, Pharaoh's right-hand man. Amazingly, he was back on top. And then finally, after a separation of more than 20 years from his family, Joseph was reunited with his brothers and his father through a famine that the Lord ordained. What a story. You know what? If this happened today, this would have been the front headlines. This would have been in every social media. Somebody would have made a book. Somebody would have made a movie out of this. It would have been a blockbuster movie. It had action, suspense, drama, then a twist in the end. Joseph didn't get a break. Seemed like he didn't get a break. But I love the way he responded to his difficulties. And that's the title of my message today, Our Response in the Middle, in the Midst of Difficulties. I have 3 points, and I'm sure there's more we can learn from the life of Joseph. There's a lot of lessons there, but I only picked three. Here's my first one, Excellence in the Midst of Adversity. Let's read my first verse, Genesis 39, 1 to 6. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted him to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all of that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Can I just give you the key phrase on these verses? The Lord was with Joseph. That's it. I'm sure Joseph was very talented, or he was great with his hands, but it was only and only because the Lord was with him that he found favor in the eyes of Potiphar. Joseph was the real deal. Whatever he preached, he also put into action. Potiphar saw God in all his work and in him. Folks, do people see God in us? Do they know that we just belong to a church, or that we belong to God? See, some people might think that Joseph had a right to be bitter and angry. In the world standard, especially today, this man should have been depressed, resentful, hopeless, and full of hatred. But just imagine, all his dreams, everything, his future plans were destroyed by the ones who should have loved him the most. He had no control over his life anymore as a slave. He was just a pawn in the hands of other men. But amid his very difficult circumstances, he didn't choose to be bitter, but to be better. Instead of being furious, he chose to flourish. Instead of being depressed, he chose to be driven. You know what Joseph could have said to the Lord? Lord, can you get me out of this mess so I can see your blessings? But the Lord said, no, honey. He said, no, honey, I will bless you where you are in the midst of all that mess. You just need to continue to focus on me. Fix your eyes on me. Now, I'm sure Joseph still had his bad days, but it was all a choice for Joseph. And that applies to us as well. In the midst of our adversities, our pain, disappointments, failures, setbacks, and our hurts, we have a choice to make. How we respond is crucial in our spiritual health and growth. Look at how the Lord blessed Joseph where he was. Potiphar brings him into his house. And after a while, he realized that this man's really good at everything he does. And as he assigns him more tasks, he just gets better and better. Before you know it, this slave is now running his entire household. which has never been smooth all of Potiphar's life. For the first time, Potiphar can say, I can finally go on vacation. I need a break. Joseph can pay the mortgage and the bills while I'm gone. Yes, that's right. He even entrusted him with his bank account. Even with Joseph's difficult past, the Lord made him look good in the eyes of his master. I love the end of verse 6 and how it describes that Potiphar had it good in his house. It says, Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Ladies and gentlemen, if that's the worry of your life, you're living pretty good. He wakes up in the morning and the only thing that he has to think about is what he's going to eat for the day. Oh, Lord, what should I get pancakes or French toast? Oh, man, I can't decide. And I'm the captain of the guards. Joseph, can you help me out here? That was his decision, right? Because Joseph took care of everything. Listen, Joseph didn't let his trials change the way he sees God. He let God change the way he sees his trials. Here's a quote. Trials without God will break you. I guarantee you that. But trials with God will make you. Joseph strived for excellence in every circumstance. Not only when his master was present, but he had the same attitude when he was gone. His quality of work did not diminish or depend on whether someone else was looking. Joseph had this verse in mind. Colossians 3:23. What does it say? Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart, everything you have, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Well, Alan, what if my boss is not the greatest? It doesn't matter. Our boss is not sitting in a corner office. Our boss is sitting at the throne in heaven. My second point. Integrity in the midst of temptation. Potiphar was a decent man, but his wife, let's just say she was a nasty piece of work. She tempted Joseph day after day after day. Every day she had a different and new strategy to seduce him. She tried everything in her power to get him to give up. Let's read real quick, Genesis 39:7-12. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, come to bed with me. But he refused. Amen, Joseph. With me in charge, he told her, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in his house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? And though she spoke to Joseph every day, day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. One day he went into the house to attend his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. That R-A-N should be capitalized, ran. Look at how Joseph reacted to this situation. Four things. Joseph responded godly. He didn't play around with his words. He didn't flirt back. He didn't joke around. He spoke with wisdom that only can come from God. And if that didn't work, he ran away. Second, he remembered the risk. He remembered how much he would lose if he took that bait. I've worked so hard to get where I am. Why would I give that all up? He remembered there was so much to lose. Third, Joseph recalled the truth. Wait. You are someone else's wife. You're not mine. I don't belong to you and you don't belong to me. You're married to my master. This is not right. Joseph just said it out loud and plainly. He literally stated the facts. And fourth and the last one, Joseph recognized sin. He saw sin for what it was, pure and utter wickedness against his God. Friends, we might not have the same temptations as Joseph did, but as a child of God, I know for certain that the devil is more relentless than this woman. His mission, his goal, is to break you. His goal, his mission, is to destroy you. Let Joseph's response to sin be our example and guide. You know, Joseph could have said again, I kind of like this setup. She won't tell, and I won't tell, which means we won't get caught. We can keep this as a secret. We can get away with this if we both play our cards right. It's risk-free. Folks, sin will never be risk-free. You will lose more than you think. If you think you can get away with it, the Lord sees everything. And let me repeat that again clearly. He sees and knows everything. And you can put him aside as much as you want, but the Lord will eventually deal with your sin. Everything done in the dark will eventually come to light. Amen? My last and third point, compassion in the midst of brokenness. Let's read Genesis 45, 3-8. Joseph said to his brothers, and before I want to give you an intro in here, he hasn't seen his brothers for a long time. The brothers can't even recognize him. Brothers came there to get food because they were starving. He was the only one who had food, Joseph. So here it is. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Is my father still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Oh my goodness, we're dead. We're gone. We're not going to go home. This is it. Look where he is and look where we are. He's going to remember everything we did to him. But look at the verse 4. Then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. Come here. Look at my face. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. Whew. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was not to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. I'm sorry, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years there has been now famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. Then we're going to skip to verse 14. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept. And Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Man, that's a lot of dudes crying at one time. But what a reunion, though. The brothers came there for food. They went home with forgiveness. You know, Joseph could have had, again, few choices here. He could have easily sent them to prison and gave them a taste of what he went through. Option number two, he could have just sent them home and have them starve to death. I don't want anything to do with them. I want to forget them. They're not in my life anymore. Or even better, just push them in a pit and leave them there to die. Sounds fair, right? That would have been justice served. But Joseph chose option number four. He chose the high road and forgave them. Amen. Prepared a feast and even lavished them with abundance. See, he didn't just choose justice. He chose mercy and grace. See, justice is getting what you deserve. But mercy and grace are different. Mercy, you're not getting what you deserve. Then there's grace, you're getting something you don't deserve. Joseph just didn't say, you know, you could have said, kill him, go ahead and kill him, cut their heads off, and that would have been justice. No, he chose mercy. He said, I forgive you. Amen. And then there's grace. You know what? I won't just forgive you. I will give you the best land. I will take care of you and your sons and daughters for the rest of your life. Folks, that's grace. Doesn't that remind you of someone we know? Doesn't that remind you of our Lord Jesus? In spite of everything we've done, he chose to give us mercy and grace. I remember the day I discovered I was a wretched and awful sinner. And to think that he wanted to forgive everything and wanted me as a son sounded ridiculous. But I would have been a fool if I passed it up. Friends, of all the responses Joseph gave in the midst of his circumstances, this probably was far the most difficult one. You know how he did it? He finally saw who was behind it all. The Lord showed Joseph an aha moment. Verse 8, let's go back to verse 8, just that one verse. So then, it was not you who sent me here, who? But God. It was not any of you. It was not you, Benjamin. It was not you, Reuben. It was not you, Judah, that put me in that pit. It was not Potiphar. It was not his wife. It was not even Pharaoh that promoted me where I am now. It was all designed by God. You meant it for evil. God used it for good. I forgive you. Folks, those are some powerful words, maybe even at times more powerful than the words, I love you. Corrie ten Boom. Some people of you know her. She said these words, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. In summary, let me go back to my first point. Excellence in the midst of adversity. Let's strive to be excellent in everything we do, regardless of our circumstances. Even if no one else is looking, you'll never know who you're impacting. Second, integrity in the midst of temptation. But how do we do that? We respond godly, remember the risk, recall the truth, and recognize sin for what it is. And lastly, compassion in the midst of brokenness. Relieve yourself of bitterness and hate. Set yourself free from your own prison and forgive. Check out how Joseph's story ended. From pit to the palace. From shackles to a signet ring. From rags to fine robes of linen. From a prisoner to a prime minister of Egypt, the most powerful nation on earth at that time. Once despised, now every knee is bowing. Friend, our story has not ended like Joseph has. But Joseph's ending gives us a glimpse of ours. You know why? Because we have the same author as he did. We are still in the middle of our story. We can change the narrative, but it depends on how we respond to God. Sure, there will be nights where you cry to yourself to sleep. There will be days you feel like giving up. Moments when you want God to relieve you of that pain. I know Joseph did. But he chose wisely. Let us choose our response wisely. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you that when we have you as our Lord and Savior, you promised us that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We claim that promise, Lord. We claim that true promise in all our circumstances, especially on those days when it feels overwhelming, too painful, too long. But as it says in your word, you've already overcome the world. We are not victims, but victors in Christ. Lord, let us choose and respond wisely. May we choose you. Thank you again, Lord. Thank you again, Lord, for loving us more than we deserve and for your mercy and grace. Amen.